By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Rise and Shine, welcome back to our program. Alhamdulillahi Azzawajal. It goes by the name of Rise and Shine. Now, Alhamdulillahi Azzawajal, we usually begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Let's listen to Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد صدق الله العظيم
سبحان الله سبحان الله صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم الحمد لله he has recited Surah Al-Ikhlas MashaAllah that surah by which it has been stated that to recite this surah once an individual gains the reward of reciting a third of the glorious Qur'an, the entire Qur'an. SubhanAllah. My dear viewers of Madrasah, Alhamdulillah, Azzurrah, we have listened to the beautiful verses of the glorious Qur'an expressing the tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each and every single day we have a new topic. And we also have, mashallah, our guest, Mubeen Bhai, MashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Jazakallahu khairah for joining us. I was saying you're looking very tired today. Allahu Akbar. But inshallah you will rise, inshallah, by listening to the naat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's listen to the naat, the praise, the salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya ya Rasulallah وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله وصف رخ ان کا کیا کرتے کرتے ہیں شرق و شمس و دوہا کرتے ہیں شرق و شمس و دوہا کرتے بنا کرتے ہیں ان کی ہم مد ہو سنا کرتے ہیں جن کو محمود کہا کرتے ہیں جن کو محمود کہا کرتے ہیں انگلیاں جب غم خاری جوش پر آتی ہے جب غم خاری رشن سیراب ہوا کرتے ہیں رشن سیراب ہوا کرتے اپنے مولا کی ہے بس شان عظیم جانور بھی کرے جن کی تعظیم جانور بھی کرے جن ادب سے تسلیم سنگ کرتے ہیں ادب سے تسلیم پیڑ سجدے میں گرا کرتے ہیں پیڑ سجدے میں گرا مد ہو سنا کرتے ہیں جن کو محمود کہا کرتے ہیں تو ہے خورشید رسالت پیارے انبیاء اور ہیں سب ماہ پارے انبیاء اور ہیں سب ماہ پارے تجھ سے گھی نور لیا کرتے ہیں تجھ سے گھی نور لیا کیا کرتے ہیں شرح بشر شد دعا کرتے ہیں شرح بشر شد دعا کرتے ہیں غلام لو لگی ہے اب اس در کے غلام چارائے درد رضا کرتے ہیں چارائے درد رضا کرتے ہیں بس رخ ان کا کیا سنا کرتے ہیں جن کو محمود کہا کرتے ہیں
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم الحمدللہ عز وجل. We have listened to the Naad, praise upon the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind Rasulullah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. And alhamdulillah, as usual, each and every single day, we also have a picture. Now alhamdulillah عز وجل, today we have our respected Mubeen Bhai. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him for joining us especially today. Now for those of you that may not be aware, very recently we have one of our most important departments of Dawat Islami, which is known as Darul Ifta. What is Darul Ifta? Inshallah today, because we have our respected Ustaz Mubeen Sahab, so inshallah he shall be telling us, inshallah, if you don't mind, tell us, and we also will promote your Darul Ifta inshallah. About Darul Ifta, what is Darul Ifta? What does Darul Ifta mean? Some of you may have never heard of Darul Ifta. Inshallah, we shall find out later on during our program. But first, let's come back to our picture. Let's take a look at today's picture. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, it seems like Sama bin Sahib has woken up a little. Ji, mashallah, he's got a smile on his face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him smiling. The picture, if you take a look at this, it's actually quite a brilliant picture, I think. So you have on one side, there's two people facing each other. On one side, we have a man with his, literally you can say he's got a big mouth. You can say he literally has a big mouth. And I don't know, is that an eye or something over there? Something little, which is white over there. And then on the other side, we have a man whose mouth is not so big, and he has a very big eye, or is that his brain? Whatever it may be, my dear viewers of Madinah Shadow, this is for you to tell us, what do you think of this picture? Alhamdulillah, today we have a beautiful topic, because mashallah, we generally speak about worship. We speak about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to worship Him, to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to worship anybody, anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have been ordered to worship in many forms, many ways, many methods. MashaAllah, sometimes we have spoken about salah. We must perform our 5 daily salah each and every single day. Yes, each and every single day we must perform our 5 daily salah. And Fajr salah is included within those 5, by the way. MashaAllah, we had the blessed month of Ramadan. Now during the blessed month of Ramadan, we fast during this blessed month, alhamdulillah, 29 or 30 fast, my dear viewers. So all of these are types of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are outward, you can say outwardly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala physically. These are physical, and the physical acts, physical methods of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then there's another aspect. There's also the spiritual side. There's a spiritual side, the inner side, my dear viewers, of Madani Channel. And for this, inshallah, we shall be asking Mubeen Bhai to explain more, to expand on this. Ji.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Topic regarding spirituality and in particular spiritual allegiance. So as you mentioned, spirituality is extremely important in our beautiful religion of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-A'la, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. The one who purified himself has indeed attained success. So success, we might measure in various different things. Worldly success, many people measure by the bank balance a person possesses, how many houses he has, how big his house is, how many cars he has, what types of cars he has. But this is success which is superficial. This is success which will be left behind and is just momentary or temporary. The true success is being successful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you mentioned, that success entails fulfilling outward acts of worship that Allah Almighty has made obligatory upon us, but also purifying one's inner and making sure that one's spirituality is enhanced. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in this verse, that attaining spirituality or spiritual purification, this is a sign of that individual who has attained success in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the question could arise, how do we attain purification of the heart? How do we attain spirituality? How do we attain peace and tranquility of our heart? How do we make our heart fully engrossed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, like with any journey, for example, a physical journey, if I want to travel from Bradford to London, then if I've never been there before, and I don't know the destination, then I need some form of navigation. Whether that's another individual to sit with me and guide me there, whether that's some form of technology. Nowadays that we have, right, we type in the postcode and we follow the instructions that are given to us on satellite navigation. But without a guide, without a navigator, without another individual or some form of technology to make us reach that destination, if I have never been to London before, and it's a postcode somewhere in the middle of London, there's a very high possibility of me getting lost. I could try to follow the signs, but the signs will, for example, lead me to the city of London, but once I'm in London, it won't lead me to the exact postcode. The signs may lead me to the area, but to reach the actual destination and to achieve success on that journey, to achieve my goal, I need some form of guide. Similarly, on our spiritual journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need a guide. If we're going to try to attain spirituality, try to purify our hearts without a guide, then there's a great chance of us getting lost on the way and ma'azallah even becoming misguided.
Allah.
And this is where the concept of spiritual allegiance comes. So initially, the Sahaba alayhim wa ridwan, they had the great blessing of being able to take directly from the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
You see, Mashallah, you began brilliantly, and I love the analogy also, you know, the navigation. I'm just wondering where, you know, in the olden days, sometimes people would get themselves around by asking people. But there's a big problem, there's a huge problem, in fact. And this is something which is international. That sometimes you would ask somebody something, you would ask them, you know, which way is this place? And they'll sometimes give you the total opposite direction.
Yes.
So it's not only asking, but it's also asking the right person, because somebody could direct you in the wrong way as well, can't they?
Yes, a very important point.
And then
that
would become problematic.
It's a very important point, very important point. Especially when it comes to the field of spirituality. Inshallah, we'll move on to this, because there are certain conditions. So how do you know that the person you're asking for guidance is actually qualified to give you that guidance? So there are signs and conditions which the scholars have mentioned. We'll move on to that, inshallah, shortly. But just in terms of, you know, taking a guide or asking somebody who's an expert, this is something that has been passed down from generation to generation from the time of the Sahaba alayhim wa ridwan. So the Sahaba alayhim wa ridwan, obviously, they had the greatest blessing of being able to take spirituality direct from the ocean of spirituality, the source of all spirituality, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Sahaba alayhim wa ridwan then passed that knowledge on to their disciples, to the following generation. So the following generation would come to the Sahaba and pledge allegiance to them. So this concept of pledging allegiance, this has been passed down generation to generation. And even in this day, alhamdulillah, we have pious individuals, men of spirituality, who have an unbroken chain back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning that they have taken their spirituality, their purification of the heart, from their teacher, who took it physically from his teacher, who took it physically from his teacher, and that unbroken chain Allah leads all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And this is that's beautiful, subhanallah. It's a connection, isn't it? And it's a connection not only to the Shaykh himself, but all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. This is a spiritual connection, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah, this is also a practice of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, that the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they themselves would give allegiance to another individual. Because everybody, my dear viewers, requires guidance. And out there you have real and fake everything. You know, you'll have a real doctor, you'll have a fake doctor.
Mm.
You'll have good solicitors, real solicitors. Then you'll have the fake ones who are just out there for the money.
Mm.
But if you were to come across a fake doctor, it wouldn't mean that, oh, that's it, forget going to doctors. You know, there's no point going to doctors. I'll just, you know, Google everything myself and I'll operate on myself.
Mm.
Allahu Akbar. Same with everything else, my dear viewers. You get real ones, you get fake ones. But it's your duty to be able to first identify which is the real one. You get real and fake diamonds also, don't you?
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, if diamond is your business and you need to purchase a diamond, you will do everything you can to first be able to identify whether or not that diamond is real.
Mm.
So how do we identify whether these diamonds are real or not?
Well, there are many different ways. One beautiful analogy that was given once by Rukni Shura, he said that in the same way that when a person is afflicted with a physical illness, a physical disease, a person tries to find out who the specialist doctor is for curing that particular illness. For example, the person has a heart problem. So he wants to find the best heart specialist in the city. So to do that, what does he do? He looks at the track record of that heart specialist. So he looks to see how successful is his hospital, how many patients has he treated successfully, how many individuals have come to him with their heart problems, with their heart illnesses, and how many of them, what's the percentage of those who he has been able to cure.
Allah.
So by looking at a person's track record and his success rate, you can see whether or not that person is genuine, or whether or not, whether he's a fake, or whether he's a pseudo doctor. So similarly, he mentions, Rukni Shura mentions this in one of his speeches, that if we look at spirituality, because people today are afflicted with very spiritual ailments. People are afflicted with the illness of jealousy. People are afflicted with the illness of arrogance. People have these diseases of hatred for fellow Muslims in their hearts. People have diseases of things like stinginess, things like not being inclined towards the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being lost in the love of the world. All of these are spiritual illnesses. So if you want to see who an expert doctor is in terms of curing spiritual ailments, you need to look and see who is somebody who has a high track record and a high success rate of curing spiritual illnesses,
Allah,
of transforming those people who are away from the true path of Islam and making them pious and practicing Muslims. So he says that in this day and age, alhamdulillah, if you want to see an incredibly successful specialist in this field, then look towards the blessed personality of Amir Ahl Sunnah, the leader and founder of Dawat Islami, Hazrat Alama Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, who without doubt has transformed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people across the world. And you'll find many, many people, each with a different story to tell, about how initially they were on a different path in their life. They were disinclined from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were away from the true purpose of life. However, Amir Ahl Sunnah, through a connection with him, when they came into the spiritual domain of Amir Ahl Sunnah, Amir Ahl Sunnah, through his spiritual power and his spiritual healing, by connecting to that blessed chain through Amir Ahl Sunnah, those individuals transformed their lives and were cured from those spiritual diseases and now live a life of piety in accordance with the teachings of Islam.
Allah, 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 Allah. SubhanAllah. So, what would you say, 100% success rate? You know, it's Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers are on the channel, really.
I mean, we can give examples. I think
this is what we're just going to mention is we have over 100 departments.
Mm.
So do like generally about some people, you give one example.
Mm.
So I'm just thinking, where do we give beginning examples?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean,
you know,
to be honest with you, there's two examples sitting right here on the screen of people who have gained so much benefit, I'm sure you'll agree, from spiritually
undoubted.
Being connected to Amir
Hassan.
And there's so many incredible stories like the famous...
just Madini Channel itself, them being able to watch Madini Channel.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. In terms of the individual transformations, like... Imagine a young man who has a beautiful voice, who's been attracted to the field of singing,
Allah,
who's gaining opportunities internationally to sing in front of some of the biggest people in that field, who's being offered money, who's being offered fame, a person who really is on the cusp of achieving what most people would probably consider as a great amount of money, a great amount of fame, a great amount of prestige maybe even in that particular field of pop music, of singing. But for him to reject all of that, to turn his back on that, because it's sin, because it's disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and come into the path of piety, to use that gift of a beautiful voice, not
Allah.
To disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather to please Allah Almighty by reciting praise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of singing songs.
Allah.
And then to step on the path of knowledge, and rather than becoming ma'adallah a pop singer, which is a career full of sin and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather to engage in seeking knowledge, to study Islam for 8 years, and to graduate as a scholar, as an alim of Islam, a scholar of the Quran and Hadith, this is something that has actually happened through the blessings of Amir al-Sunnah. I'm talking of Junaid Sheikh, our respected brother from Karachi.
And then we can also
mashallah,
speak about one of our classmates.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely, mashallah. In terms of transformation, our views of Madin Channel may be aware of this. It was obviously shown on Madin Channel as well, that when we graduated from Jamiatul Madina, which was the first class to graduate in UK, Jamiatul Madina, alhamdulillah, in that class was a very unique individual, mashallah, our Nurbai. And Nurbai, he, prior to coming into Dawat Islami and becoming an alim, becoming a scholar, graduating from Jamiatul Madina, many years ago, he was not even a Muslim. Many years ago, he was in fact a Christian, and not just a Christian from the common folk. He was actually responsible for preaching Christianity, i.e. he was a priest.
Internationally.
When he gained connection to Amir al-Sunnah and he
Allah
came
Allah.
Into contact with brothers from Dawat Islami, his heart transformed, and he, alhamdulillah, was blessed with guidance. MashaAllah, he stepped on the path of knowledge and graduated from Jamiatul Madina as
Allah,
well.
Allah, 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 subhanAllah, subhanAllah. And mashallah, Nurbai is a regular viewer of ours also.
Mashallah.
He always, you know, messages me, encourages me, you know, he says, you know, Jazakallahu khairah, mashallah. He thanks and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly bless him.
Ameen.
He's, you know, as we are very fortunate, and we can say this really, that we are very fortunate to have been his class fellows.
Definitely.
Because mashallah, we were, alhamdulillah, we were the first year, first graduates of our Jamiatul Madina in Bradford. There may be some who are not aware. Alhamdulillah, right now, at this moment in time, we have 9 Jamiatul Madina, 6 full-time, 3 part-time. And these are in various cities. And inshallah, this following year, they shall be increasing to 10. And we shall have 1 Jamiatul Madina also in London. So those individuals who are of the age 16 plus, please do enroll, attempt to enroll inshallah, give your applications to enroll in our Jamiatul Madina.
Yeah, and this is for Islamic brothers, for Islamic sisters, alhamdulillah, we
and
have in Birmingham and in Bradford as well.
And in Bradford.
Separate branches just for sisters, alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
So
right now there's,
who are watching.
For the Islamic sisters so far, inshallah, and I'm sure this will increase very soon.
Definitely.
Because generally, mashallah, they do a lot more work, and you know, we will inshallah soon have a lot more even than the Jamiatul Madina for the males. Right, coming back to our topic, mashallah,
yes.
We're speaking about spiritual.
Yes, one thing I wanted to clarify, because some people might think that, okay, this concept of having a sheikh or having a murshid,
right,
pledging allegiance to somebody spiritually, where does this derive from? So there's a beautiful verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 71. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On the day when we shall summon every group along with its leader. Now in the commentary of this, in Tafsir Nur al-Irfan, it stated that from this ayah we learn that in this world, it's important for a person to take a righteous leader, because a person will be called with that leader on the Day of Judgment. So he says that this gives us an indication towards the concept of taqleed, which is following one of the four imams in fiqh, in Islamic law. So we have to follow either Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi'i. These are the four Sunni schools of Islamic law. So the majority of people from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, they are Hanafi. And he also says that from the same verse, we also gain an indication towards the importance of having a leader, a spiritual guide, in terms of tariqah, in terms of spirituality. So Sharia is our practical law, how to pray, how to perform Hajj, how to give zakat, what are the rulings of marriage, of divorce, all these other things. But then there are rules and laws of spirituality as well, how to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to gain ma'rifah, recognition of Allah Almighty, how to truly follow the blessed example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is done through following the leaders of Islamic spirituality. So based on this verse of the Quran, we learn about not only following an imam in fiqh, but also following a leader or a sheikh or a murshid, a guide in terms of spirituality as well.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Okay.
When did you first give your hand a pledge in allegiance?
Wow. It was a problem.
Well, it was only once, I'm assuming. I don't know why I said first. Mm. But when was it that you actually gave your hand?
It was approximately 10 years ago now. 9 to 10 years ago. It was a couple of years or a year and a half before I joined Jamiatul Madina. Yeah, at that time, alhamdulillah, my blessed mother, she had started attending the Ijtima'at of Dawat Islami for Islamic sisters. And because of that, Madini Channel started to be watched in our home. So one day I was watching Madini Channel with my respected and honorable mother, and Amir Ahl Sunnah was delivering his pearls of wisdom and guidance. And I just thought, this is an incredible personality, incredible individual who has so much humility and so much sincerity to serve Islam, mashallah, without any, without the need to be flamboyant, or without the need to, you know, desire money, or without the need to desire fame. Subhanallah, such sincerity and such pure intention, mashallah. So these are the things which kind of incline.
You see, so this is a result of Madini Channel, isn't it?
Yeah.
As Madini you
channel.
Mentioned,
so in, the, in that particular program, then Amir Hassan delivered the words of Bay'ah. So then I repeated those words and I became
Madini. I think, I'm assuming it's Madini Muzakara.
Yeah, Madini Muzakara.
Every Saturday, alhamdulillah, Saturday evenings, there is a Madini Muzakara. Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Ali himself, mashallah, they themselves are on live answering various and many questions, mashallah. So this was an effect of Madini Channel. This
And then alhamdulillah, just a few months after that, after becoming more attached to Amir Ahl Sunnat and the environment of Dawat Islami, I performed i'tikaf in the environment of Dawat Islami. In that i'tikaf, there was an announcement that a Jamiatul Madina for the first time is going to be opened residentially in Bradford, in which Tajseed Nizami, the Alim course, will be taught. So there, that really, through that i'tikaf, I already had a passion to learn knowledge.
And I remember the day you came to Jamiatul Madina.
Do you?
Along with your brothers, and I think I helped you with the bags, if I remember correctly.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Ji, my dear viewers, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. So how has this affected you then? Do you know, I mean, at that time when you pledged allegiance, even before Jamiatul Madina, obviously, mashallah, now you've come and you're sitting in Darul Ifta, but spiritually, how did this affect you at that time when you pledged allegiance?
At that time, it was kind of like a point of being at the crossroads in my life at that time, because I was studying secular studies as well, and I had gone through a couple of things in my life which kind of made me start thinking more deeply about the purpose of life. So one of my close friends had passed away at a very young age. I think he was 21 or 22. And that had a great effect on me, because it started to make me think about what is life about. He's gone into the next life. If I was in a situation, what would have happened to me? Have I done anything to truly gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I started thinking about these kind of things. And at that time, it was just the perfect time for me, because at that time, when I was searching for guidance, I was searching for answers. Those answers came to me, alhamdulillah, in the form of Amir Ahl Sunnah. So after pledging allegiance to Amir Ahl Sunnah, then obviously we have the Madini activities of Dawat Islami. Through the spiritual blessings of Amir Ahl Sunnah, I started to gain more interest in attending the ijtima'at. We used to go to Birmingham every Thursday for the ijtima' and travel on Madini kafilas, and then the i'tikaf happened. And it just became a lot easier to perform good deeds. So I think it was the spiritual, the beautiful thing about pledging allegiance to Amir al-Sunnat and getting that spiritual connection to him is that he gives you an environment, which is extremely important, because when you're by yourself and you have these questions and you have, even you have this kind of, this thirst for spirituality, for getting closer to Allah, but you don't have an environment, it can become very difficult because you can fall back into your old ways very easily. But if you have a group of brothers around you and you have activities to go to regularly, and those activities are continuously...
The environment, isn't it?
Definitely.
It's so important.
That kind of protects you and preserves you and stops you from going back into your old ways and helps you to continually progress.
Alhamdulillah. And it's really important, so important to have an environment, because sometimes even when a person does turn towards mashallah, becomes Islamic, he'll pray his 5 daily salah, but then after a bit of time that wears off gradually.
Yeah.
And you see, he needs somebody around him to also to continue to encourage him. And the reason for this is because, you know, we're living, for example, in the United Kingdom, where we are constantly being told to do sins, and it is very, very rare that we are told to pray our salah, told to, you know, perform good deeds. And this is the reason why it's a lot more difficult, especially in a non-Muslim.
It's from the spiritual blessings of Amir al-Sunnat that he gives us, basically like that friend circle. Otherwise, and this is something that Nigran Shura once said, that if you look at your friend circle, and if you think to yourself about your closest friends, ask yourself the question, on the Day of Judgment, which of these friends will benefit me?
Allah.
So many of us, whilst growing up, maybe we didn't have any friends who we could say that, okay, this is a friend of mine, this individual, this particular mate of mine is going to be the one who on the Day of Judgment is going to benefit me. Because many of us grew up in an environment where our friends were not inclined towards worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were not reminding us about Allah Almighty. But through the blessings of Dawat Islami and Amir al-Sunnat, we alhamdulillah gain connections and friendships with individuals who we can say that inshallah this friend of mine will help me on the Day of Judgment, will support me on the Day of Judgment when I really need him the most.
MashaAllah, my dear viewers of the channel, alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Each and every single day, we have a reminder. Let's take a look, let's see what we have for today's reminder. Let's move to and listen to, inshallah, the reminder we have for today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear respected Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, once a person asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that how did you become such a big scholar? How did you become such a big alim-e-deen? And now before I continue, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was that personality, my dear Islamic brothers, that millions and millions of people followed Imam Abu Hanifa before us. And millions of people today across the whole world, they follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. They call themselves Hanafis. One day, my dear respected Islamic brothers, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, someone asked him, how did you become such a big alim-e-deen? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he replied and he said that I used to get some knowledge. I used to do the shukr of Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jal used to give me more knowledge. This is why I have got this status. What do we learn from this? The more shukr of Allah you do, the more you thank Allah, the more Allah will give you, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And my dear respected Islamic brothers, today, sadly, people are mourning, I've got this problem, I've got this difficulty, look at that person, look what he's got, and look what I've got. Just remember one Madani fool, my dear respected Islamic brothers. What you have, yes, what you have, what I have, is someone's dream, out there. Many people would love to live the lifestyle that we are living. But what? They're too poor. They don't have a house to sleep in. They don't have a house to stay in. You say that I want that car because I don't like this one. Brother, they don't even have a car, many people around the world. They have to walk to get to their destination. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has given us so much. My dear respected Islamic brothers, think to yourself, how much do we thank Allah? How much do we praise Allah Azza wa Jal? How much shukr of Allah Azza wa Jal do we do in one day? Think to yourself, today anybody does something good to you, you can't continue to thank him. You can't stop thanking him. My dear respected Islamic brothers, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us so much. But how much shukr of Allah do we do? How much do we thank Allah Azza wa Jal? So make one intention today, inshallah Azza wa Jal, that you will thank Allah Azza wa Jal, you will do the shukr of Allah Azza wa Jal, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, that was our today's reminder. We must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything He has given us. And He has given us so much. Really, He has given us so much. And He continues to give each and every single moment, each and every single, you know, millisecond, you can say. We cannot move an inch without His permission, without His sustenance. We cannot breathe. We cannot open our eyes in the morning. We cannot rise. We cannot shine, my dear viewers of Madinah Inshallah. We must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything He has given us. Allahu Akbar. The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are immense. They are truly immense. And some of those blessings are having the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst us and having people like Amir Ahlus Sunnah Dhamad Barakatum Al-Aliyah. He is a true blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah.
Regarding the occasion where, mashaAllah, we know how in the early days of your studies in Jamiat al-Madinah, mashaAllah, you wanted to take bay'ah with Amir Ahlus Sunnah, but you wanted to do it in a special way, didn't you?
Yes, alhamdulillah. You see, I was really critical at first. I was totally different, mashaAllah. When you came in fully. When I came, I was very critical. So I would question everything just generally as like a normal person would. And I thought to myself, look, Amir al-Sunnah, Dhamad Barakatum Al-Ali, I did respect them undoubtedly, mashallah. I loved them, I respected them. But there was just one thing, because I was thinking, who shall I give allegiance to? Now I had made my mind that yes, I do need to give allegiance. I do need to pledge my allegiance. But who to give it to? So I was thinking, there's this sheikh, there's this sheikh, there's this, you know, we hear about all sorts of mashallah. And then undoubtedly there's also Amir al-Sunnah who was right there, mashallah. But what I used to think to myself is that whenever I see them, I only see them on TV. So can I be a proper judge of, you see, you know, before you choose, as you know, he said that before you choose your PD, you know, you choose with open eyes. After that, you close the eyes, don't you? So at first, there's no harm in questioning and, you know, pondering over things. So I did think that the only time I see them is I see them on TV. So I can't really be a judge and say, oh yeah, they're the best ones, because I don't know what they're like off TV. But alhamdulillah, then, mashallah, I think you may have also been with us when we traveled to Bab al-Madinah, Karachi, in the, I think it was the first semester, after the first semester, in the first 6 months. And that was when I witnessed Amir al-Sunnah. And really, I remember, because we sat with them to eat, and luckily, I think I probably got to eat with them the most. About 5 or 6 times, alhamdulillah, I was really, really blessed to sit down with them and eat. But I wouldn't eat, I would just watch them. This is exactly how it was. I wouldn't eat, I would just watch Amir al-Sunnah. And I made my mind that this is truly an exceptional, a phenomenal personality, individual. So then I made my mind that yes, you know, because alhamdulillah, I've been lucky to go and visit other peers, etc. But nobody could match this individual. So I made my mind to give my bay'ah. But then I thought, no, I don't want it to be a normal one. Because the way you said, mashallah, you know, they mention it on TV and there would be people there where they would say it and you would repeat after them. I thought, no, I don't want it to be a normal. I want it to be a proper, you know, like, well, it's not that they are not proper. But there's just more of that.
So don't they
end you know, you have your own preferences. I just wanted mine to be special. So I wanted mine to be hand in hand. So alhamdulillah, when I approach Amir al-Sunnah, I pledge my allegiance hand in hand to Amir al-Sunnah, alhamdulillah. So I was extremely fortunate, because I don't know many individuals who have done so, but alhamdulillah. And you see, do you know, the reason why I asked you, what did you feel after, was because as soon as I left, I actually felt something, you know, like I felt that sensation going through my entire body.
SubhanAllah.
Sorry, coming back to spiritual allegiance.
Mm.
Allah.
Subhanallah. In terms of our, mashallah, spiritual allegiance and Amir Ahl Sunnah, it's amazing because it reminds me of something that, mashallah, Mufti Qasim Saab Hafidahullah recently informed us that Amir Ahl Sunnah Tan Barakatun Aliyah, he follows such incredible sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which it's not possible for a person to adopt through his own effort such sunnahs of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, which can only be gifted from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a miracle of his, a beautiful sunnah of his, that every single sahabi, whoever it may be, they all thought that from all of the sahaba, they were the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning a particular sahabi would come to the Prophet alayhi wasallam, he would be given so much love and affection, that when he would leave, he would say, I am the most beloved of all of the companions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next companion would come, he would spend time with the Prophet alayhi wasallam, gain so much love and affection, he would go back, and he would say, no, I am the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of the companions would have the exact same feeling. And Mufti Sahib, may Allah bless him and may Allah preserve him, he says that it's exactly the same with Amir al-Sunnat. With Amir al-Sunnat, all of the murids of Amir al-Sunnat, whether they be the Muftiyan Ikram, the Arakeen Shura, whoever they may be, when they go and they spend time in the court of Amir al-Sunnat, they come back saying that Amir al-Sunnat loves me the most.
Allah.
Every single one of them. And it's as if Amir al-Sunnat is, mashallah, embodying that particular and incredible sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this day and age. And this is an extremely important thing, because that the true miracle of a wali is his adherence to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if a person truly wants to see whether an individual is qualified to be a peer, then you should look at that individual's adherence to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in Amir al-Sunnah, alhamdulillah, we see not only in the physical sunnahs, but also in the spiritual sunnahs, in the sunnahs of treating people, the sunnahs of conduct, mashallah, Amir al-Sunnah, alhamdulillah, is at the forefront of doing everything in accordance with the sunnah.
And they're being extremely wary of every person they've somehow contacted against them. Meaning, sometimes it's possible that without intending to, inadvertently, you can say, harm somebody.
Yes.
And sometimes just not even smiling at somebody.
Mm.
You know, and they would be very, very, you know, they're really conscious of these things. Very, very conscious of these things. You know, where sometimes they may think, oops, did I say something? Did I harm you? Like, they may have corrected, you know, it's their job to correct us.
Mm.
You know, if we said something wrong, they may correct us, but then they'll feel bad. Oops, you know, how did I correct him? Did he feel bad? Or what if, you know, I've embarrassed him? What if he's feeling bad? What do I do? And Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatum al-Aliya. And this has happened, mashallah, really. They would write a letter to that person, apologizing. Really, Amir al-Sunnah, that individual who has millions of followers,
subhanallah,
would write a letter to such an individual who is nothing, you know, we're nothing, apologizing, asking for forgiveness. Really, this is something which I've never heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
Really, never mind saying, you know, some people, I've never heard of this before with anyone else.
Mm.
And subhanAllah, it's been, so, you know, to those people that are, mashallah, we're speaking about Amir al-Sunnah, but what if somebody says that we are biased? We could be biased. Why? Because mashallah, you know, this is the setup of Amir al-Sunnah. We're part of Dawat al-Islami, aren't we?
Mm.
So what if somebody says, you know, you're being biased?
We could say, if you look at it objectively, okay, so one important thing that we need to discuss was the conditions. So there's four conditions,
right,
which must be fulfilled for a person to be a valid spiritual guide. So first and foremost, we'd say to those people, look to see whether Amir al-Sunnah fulfills those four particular conditions. And then, moving on, there's another few things that are mentioned by the scholars. So first of all, the first condition for anybody to be a valid spiritual guide is that the individual must be a sahihul aqidah Sunni Muslim, meaning the person must have correct beliefs in accordance with Quran and Sunnah, alhamdulillah. So Amir al-Sunnah, of course, it goes without saying that Amir al-Sunnah is somebody who has saved the aqidah of hundreds of thousands of people, mashallah, and brought them onto the correct path and taught them about the true beliefs of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Secondly, the spiritual chain of the Shaykh, and we alluded to this earlier, must be connected and unbroken from one Shaykh to the next, all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So alhamdulillah, Amin al-Sunnat's Shajara is published, it's printed, it's not hidden away, and you can see all of the dates of birth and dates of passing of each Shaykh, and you can see how each individual, mashallah, met the prior individual and took allegiance from them, gained khilafah, gained permission, successorship from them, and then the chain continued. So you can see how this goes through Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahimahullah ta'ala, and then through his shaykhs back to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu anhu, back to Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, back to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, then from Sayyidina Ali to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the second condition, and of course this is found within Amir al-Sunnat. Thirdly, the shaykh must be somebody knowledgeable. So the shaykh must be an alim. So alhamdulillah, Amir al-Sunnat is not just an alim. MashaAllah, he's somebody who has produced, through his efforts, hundreds, if not thousands of alims, mashaAllah. And not just alims, mashaAllah, Amir al-Sunnat has produced muftis, scholars who are specialist scholars. And Amir al-Sunnat actually, a few years ago, the class of Takhassus fil Fiqh, which is the special, those after graduating from the alim course, after becoming scholars, they do further advanced studies to become muftis, to qualify and have the ability to actually issue verdicts on Islamic rulings. The class of scholars who have graduated from Jamiat al-Madina, who are alims, who are doing further study now, that class, they had in the month of Ramadan special sessions with Amir al-Sunnat. And during those special sessions, they took notes of the pearls of wisdom of Amir al-Sunnat, and that was compiled into a booklet. And that booklet was published by Maktabatul Madina, Ilm wa Hikmat ke Madini Pool. So in that particular booklet, this is Amir al-Sunnat's guidance and training for scholars who are specializing to become muftis. So Amir al-Sunnat is that scholar from whom even the muftis go and gain guidance. This is the level of Amir al-Sunnat scholarship. And you can look at, mashallah, all the books Amir al-Sunnat has written, hundreds and hundreds of books which are available on Dawud Islami's website in various different languages. So Amir al-Sunnat, mashallah, in terms of knowledge. And the fourth and final condition is that the Shaykh must be somebody who acts according to Sharia. Meaning the Shaykh must not be a fasiq, must not be a open sinner. The Shaykh should not be involved in breaking the laws of Islam, breaking the laws of Allah and His Messenger, Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes you have people who claim to be a peer, claim to be a Shaykh, but for example, the guy's got really, really long hair, which is down to his back, for example. And this is haram for a man. In Islam, it's haram for a man to keep his hair lower than his shoulders. Similarly, you have some individuals who, don't have a beard, for example, or they have a beard which is shorter than a fist length. So again, that's impermissible. Or some people have different types of jewelry, wearing gold, wearing massive rings. So these things, again, wearing these various types of jewelry, it's only permissible in Islam to wear one ring, and even that has certain conditions. So a guy who's wearing multiple rings or chains, or is wearing gold, for a man, obviously that's haram. So such an individual, no matter how much claims he has to spirituality, cannot be a peer. And alhamdulillah, in terms of adherence to Sharia, we see that Amir al-Sunnat is so strict, and is so, mashallah, careful in terms of ensuring that he acts upon Sharia in every single way, mashallah. Amir al-Sunnat, alhamdulillah, and there's so many examples of this, where it's incredible how Amir al-Sunnat, he makes sure that even those who are around him are not breaking the laws of Sharia. So this is the fourth condition. And regarding this, Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi, radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest spiritual guides of this entire ummah, mashallah, he said beautifully, "Tariqatuna hadhihi muqayyadun bil kitabi wa sunnah." He said that this spiritual path of ours is restricted to the Qur'an and the Sunnah. If anybody is going beyond the boundaries of the Qur'an and Sunnah and claiming spirituality, then such a person's claims are false and must be rejected. So we can see that Amir al-Sunnat, mashallah, he fulfills each and every single one of these conditions to the greatest extent, alhamdulillah. And then if you look at spiritual efficacy, if you look at the affairs of Amir al-Sunnat, and you look at, we talked about this earlier as well, how Amir al-Sunnat, mashallah, how he has successfully changed the lives of so many people. And this is something that scholars have also mentioned in the past as well, that if you want to look at the spirituality of a particular sheikh, if you want to look at how effective that person's blessings are, if you want to look at how effective that person's, you can say, the power of that person's spirituality, just look at what he's achieved. So we can see that, mashallah, Amir al-Sunnah's fairs has spread throughout the world. Alhamdulillah, we're sitting here in Bradford. Amir al-Sunnah physically has never stepped foot in this country. Despite that, in this country, there are approximately 50 Fazani Madinas, Madrasatul Madinas, buildings where the work of Dawud Islami, mashallah, is happening. Like you mentioned earlier, there's 9 Jamiatul Madinas for brothers, 2 for sisters. Now there's Darul Iftah al-Sunnat as well, mashallah. So all of this is the fruits of Amir al-Sunnat's efforts, alhamdulillah, and is actually a proof to show how powerful his spirituality is.
Allahu Akbar. And every Uzzah Madinah Shalom, we have a kalam, mashallah, recited by Abu Khalil Bhai. Let's listen to this kalam about Amir al-Sunnat, Dhamma Barakatum al-Aliya. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Bari jau, sadqe jau, murshidi attar par. Bari jau, sadqe jau, murshidi attar par. Dil bhi sadqe jami waru, dil bhi sadqe jami waru, murshidi attar par. Murshid ho to aisa ho jaise hai mere attar, rahbar ho to aisa ho jaise hai mere attar, murshid ho to aisa ho jaise hai mere attar, rahbar ho to aisa ho jaise hai mere attar, murshidi attar par noor ki barsaat ho, aashiqe sarkar par noor ki barsaat ho, humne inki hasti ko jaano dil se maana hai, kyunki aala hazrat ko inse hi pehchana hai, humne inki hasti ko jaano dil se maana hai, kyunki aala hazrat ko inse hi pehchana hai, ye hai ishq risalat ka roshan ik minar, murshid ho to aisa ho jaise hai mere attar, murshid ki barsaat ho jaise hai mere attar, noor ki barsaat ho jaise ki barsaat ho, murshidi attar par noor ki barsaat ho, aashiqe sarkar par noor ki barsaat ho, jisne sunnat ka jalwa ghar ghar mein pahunchaya, apne zuhd o taqwa se sara jahan mehkaya, jisne sunnat ka jalwa ghar ghar mein pahunchaya, apne zuhd o taqwa se sara jahan mehkaya, jisko duniya kehti hai millat ka mehmaan, murshid ho to aisa ho jaise hai mere attar, murshid jao aisa jao jaise hai mere attar par, rahbar jao aisa jao jaise hai mere attar par, murshidi attar par noor ki barsaat ho, aashiqe sarkar par noor ki barsaat ho, daawat islami yun hi difat par halan rahe, sare alam par jari attari faizan rahe, daawat islami yun hi difat par halan rahe, sare alam par jari attari faizan rahe, ya rab daim rahe salamat, ya rab daim rahe salamat, ya rab daim rahe salamat, inki hasti ka gulzar, murshid ho to aisa ho jaise hai mere attar, murshid ki barsaat ho jaise hai mere attar, noor ki barsaat ho jaise ki barsaat ho, murshidi attar par noor ki barsaat ho, aashiqe sarkar par noor کی برسات ہو
ان کی روشن سیرت سے ہم کو بھی سوغات ملے ان کی نیچی نظروں کی ہم کو بھی خیرات ملے ان کی روشن سیرت سے ہم کو بھی سوغات ملے ان کی نیچی نظروں کی ہم کو بھی خیرات ملے رب نے ان کو بخشا ہے اعلیٰ سیرت اور کردار
مرشد ہو تو ایسا ہو جیسے ہے میرے عطار مرشد ہو تو ایسا ہو جیسے ہے میرے عطار راہبر ہو تو ایسا ہو جیسے ہے میرے عطار مرشدی عطار پر نور کی برسات ہو عاشق سرکار پر نور کی برسات ہو
دل بھی صدقے جامی واروں دل بھی صدقے جامی واروں مرشدی عطار پر
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Now mashallah عز و جل, we don't have much time. We are going to our hadith segment, and subsequent to that we will turn back and then inshallah عز و جل speak about our last and final segment today, one of the departments of the Islami, the Darul Iftar. Let's move to our daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. An Abi Hurairata radiyallahu ta'ala an أن رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم قال ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه has narrated that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم said, the strong man is not the one who can wrestle, rather the strong man is the one who can control himself when he is angry. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, no doubt this is a very testing moment when one becomes angry, especially for those who become easily provoked and tend to get angry over small things. But through practice and patience, one is eventually able to control his anger. We will have heard many ways and techniques and strategies how to dispel anger, but today I bring you another beautiful way, another beautiful tactic to keep ourselves controlled and composed in the state of anger. And that is by remembering the instruction, remembering the advice given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a beautiful and simple advice it is, narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and that a man asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be advised. He asked, Ya Rasulullah, advise me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تغضب, do not become angry. So the man, he asked the question again and again, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept replying, لا تغضب, لا تغضب, do not get angry, do not become furious. Subhanallah, if only this advice given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come to our mind when we are also angry, then surely it will aid us in putting off our anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength to always safeguard ourselves from committing sins. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, that was our daily hadith. MashaAllah, azza wa jal. Now, our last and final segment, and we shall be completing on this also, MashaAllah, the Darul Iftar. We also have a promo for that. Would you like to watch the promo first? And inshallah, azza wa jal, then we'll take your comments. So let's move to the introduction of Darul Iftar. Let's take a look at that first, inshallah, before we continue. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is giving us another incredible opportunity to seek knowledge in the form of Darul Ifta Ahl Sunnah.
It survived to rectify the people. It's all over.
Darul Ifta Ahl Sunnah, Bradford, UK, is currently functioning from Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., which is the drop-in time in which anybody can come in and ask questions about salah, about zakat, about hajj, about fasting, about business matters, inheritance, nikah, talaq, and any other rulings relating to Islam.
Of the love of the Prophet, it's all.
The phone lines are open from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m., Monday to Saturday as well. And the phone number is 01274-010126.
It's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now mashallah, that beautiful building behind Mubinba was the new Darul Ifta, the first Darul Ifta of the United Kingdom also. And I've got to say alhamdulillah, it looks beautiful, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Right, what does Darul Ifta mean? And then what is Darul Ifta?
Darul Ifta literally means, the word Ifta means to issue a verdict or to give a ruling. And Dar literally means a house. So it's a place where Islamic rulings are issued. That's what Darul Ifta means. So Darul Ifta basically is, if somebody has a question about Islam, somebody has a question about prayer, about fasting, about hajj, about zakat, somebody has a nikah or talaq issue, inheritance issue, somebody wants to ask about their business, their partnership, whether or not it's in accordance with the rulings of Islam, then they can come in physically. Islamic brothers come in and they can speak and converse with Mufti Sahib, and they can gain guidance upon their normal matters, family matters, business matters. And if somebody wants to gain a written fatwa, a written verdict with the proofs from Quran, from Hadith, from the books of fiqh, then this can also be provided to them from Darul Ifta. If they come in physically and submit their question, then their question will be worked on, research will be done. When the research is complete, then we'll contact them and they can come and collect their written fatwa. And this can be in English or in Urdu, as per the preference of the questioner. So this is the kind of the physical services that we're providing. Along with that, the phone lines are open from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m., Monday to Saturday as well, where anybody can call in. The phone number is 01274-010126. 01274-010126. So you can call that number and ask any question. This is for Islamic brothers and Islamic sisters as well. They can call that number and they can ask questions to Mufti Sahib and gain their Islamic rulings. Along with that, we also have a WhatsApp service where questions, we answer approximately 2,000 questions every month on WhatsApp. So this is, it goes to a number in our head office in Babul Madina, Karachi. And then those questions are distributed to different people in different Darul Iftars who then write the answers and then they're given back to the questioner. So all of these services are available, alhamdulillah, in Darul Iftar for people to gain Islamic guidance.
SubhanAllah, so the purpose of this is nowadays, especially when it's very difficult to find a local scholar, not just a local scholar, but a scholar who's proper on the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, his aqeedah is proper.
And the thing is, one thing I want to mention is that whenever we have any type of issue in our life, we contact a specialist. So we have a number of our doctor surgery in our phone saved. If anyone's ill in the family, we contact the doctor surgery, make an appointment with the doctor. Similarly, if we have a legal issue, we know a solicitor in a particular field, we contact that person, we make an appointment, we go and see them to make sure that that problem is solved in accordance with the law, in accordance with the best manner. Similarly, we have a number of a plumber, an electrician. But many of us might not have a number of a scholar or a mufti in our phones, which is unfortunate, because it's even more important for us to make sure that our daily activities, our family issues, our business matters are all in accordance with Islamic law.
Right, you said it's 2 to 4, is it just 2 to 4?
That's for the phone line. If anybody wants to come in physically and drop in and have a physical conversation, consultation with Mufti Sahib, wants to get a physical written fatwa, then they can come in physically from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. Monday to Saturday.
Right, and will the 2 to 4 be, you see, because I think I'm assuming that the majority of questions are via phone. if I'm correct?
That's correct.
So would that be increasing that time?
At the moment, the reason is because obviously if we increase the time for the phone, then there's not going to be enough time to do written work.
Right.
So there's certain topics which are being researched related to new issues which arise in this country. So obviously that takes hours and hours of research. So if, for example, the phone lines were from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m.
then
and
you
we were busy on the phones
the
all the time,
on the phones.
We wouldn't be able to actually do research on new issues,
right.
And you wouldn't be able to provide people with written fatwas. So really from 10 till 2 is our time to do our written work, and then from 2 till 4 is where we answer the
questions. You accept questions. MashaAllah, JazakAllahu khairan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly bless you. And alhamdulillah, we also have the picture, we have today's image. Let's take a look at today's image inshallah, and let's take your views in regards to the image. So you have a big mouth person, and then you have complete opposite, it seems.
Yes.
Go on then.
Well, it seems pretty clear to me.
Pictures speak a thousand words.
Yeah. Somebody who has more brain power, somebody who uses his mind more, is going to speak less. Why? Because he's going to be thinking about what he says and thinking about the consequences of what he says more than somebody who may not be as intelligent or may not use his brain as much. So obviously pretty much people have the same size brains, but it's obviously a representation of a person having a small brain, meaning the person doesn't think very much. The person who doesn't think very much speaks more. And the person who speaks more ends up regretting what he says a lot more as well.
Allah, because once it's out, that's it, it's out, isn't it? But what about the hand action there?
The hand action? It seems like he's angry or he's screaming or...
Yeah, maybe even trying to attack him. But the other is he's composed, isn't he?
Yep.
He's, mashallah, he's relaxed and, he's self-composed. And this is what generally happens, a person who has more brains, as you'd say, one who's intelligent, he doesn't need to use his hands or possibly physically, he's able to mentally deal with things. That was quite a simple picture. JazakAllahu khaira. Now, on our topic, you've got about 6 minutes.
Okay.
Where would you like to leave the viewers of Mother Channel?
Yeah, in terms of spiritual allegiance, those who have already given spiritual allegiance, especially those who have given spiritual allegiance to the Mirah al-Sunnat, the advice to them would be that there's a statement of Shaykh Abdul Aziz al-Dabbaq rahimahullah in Al-Ibriz, in which he says that the benefit that a person gains from a spiritual guide is not dependent on how much the spiritual guide loves the murid, because the spiritual guide loves the murid unconditionally, and the spiritual guide showers love upon all the murids equally. But some murids gain a greater status than others. Some murids progress spiritually more than others, because the spiritual progress is actually based upon how much love the murid has in his heart for his shaykh. So to intensify our love for Amir al-Sunnah, it's important for us to, for example, recite the Shajara, for example, to fulfill the Madani works which Amir al-Sunnah has given to us, to try to propagate the teachings of Dawat Islami as much as we can, which makes Amir al-Sunnah happy. Alhamdulillah, we see how Amir al-Sunnah gains pleasure and he gains happiness from those people who, mashallah, do the works of Dawat Islami. And also through gaining knowledge, alhamdulillah, we've seen how Amir al-Sunnah, when he asks, for example, who's read Fatawa al-Zawiyah, who's read Bahari Shariat, who's read Fazani Sunnah, and the answer comes in the positive, mashallah, gifts that Amir al-Sunnah gives and how happy he gets, it's amazing. So those of us who are murid of Amir al-Sunnah, we have to focus on how close are we to him spiritually, and how can we increase that closeness. So these are different ways, increasing our love for him, doing the Madani work, gaining more knowledge of Islam, reading books, reading the books of Amir al-Sunnah and books of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. These are all means of gaining the happiness and the pleasure of our spiritual guide and progressing spiritually, increasing our own spirituality as well.
SubhanAllah. What about to those that have not placed their hand in guidance?
Yeah, those who haven't and who are searching for a guide, I would suggest that they reflect upon the conditions that we mentioned before, and also the fact that we mentioned how the success rate of Amir al-Sunnah, subhanAllah, and the fazan that is spreading throughout the world, alhamdulillah. If they reflect upon that, they will truly see that Amir al-Sunnah really is a unique personality of our time. And we see scholars from all over the world. We see scholars from the Arab world, from Syria, from Yemen, traveling to Karachi to meet Amir Hussain, when they meet him and they see him, then the comments that they give,
Allah.
SubhanAllah, it's incredible that, you know, if on the Day of Judgment, one Shaykh said that, if on the Day of Judgment, I was asked about keeping the company of the pious, then I would say that I kept the company of Mawlana Ilyas Qadri. So this is something which, you know, the scholars, the other peers, other sheikhs are singing the praise of Amir Hussain. I mean, there's one famous peer in Pakistan, when he came to visit Karachi a few years ago, his comments were that in this day and age, this guy is a peer himself, he's a sheikh himself, he's a spiritual guide himself, but he said that in this day and age, from all of the awliya, the one who is the closest in the court of the Prophet is Amir al-Sunnah. So this is something that peers and sheikhs themselves are saying about Amir
al-Sunnah. Now, another question is, I follow one sheikh, you follow another. Is this an excuse to despise you for mutual animosity?
Of course not. I mean, different awliya, different turuq, different tariqahs, these are all, you can say, different flowers from the same garden. So a garden only looks beautiful when it has various different colors, different sizes, different fragrances of flowers. So there's the Qadri tariqah, the Chishti tariqah, the Suhrawardi tariqah, the Shadili tariqah, Naqshbandi tariqah. These are all beloved to us and respectable and honorable to us. And these are all, like I mentioned, different colors of flowers, different fragrances of flowers, which are all part of one garden of the Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So we're all united in our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love and respect for the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt, and our beliefs of Ahlul Sunnah, which unite us all together and which bring mutual love. But this is another point, because Amir al-Sunnat and Dawat Islami is not just restricted to Attaris or Qadiris. Dawat Islami and Amir al-Sunnat is for every single person who ascribes to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who has the correct beliefs in Islam.
Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, today we spoke about giving your hand in allegiance, spirituality, and more specifically about Amir al-Sunnat, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah. Those who have not pledged their hand in allegiance, please do so. And for those that do wish to, especially to Amir al-Sunnat, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, then on Saturdays, they may repeat after them live. This is one method. They also may search on over internet, dawateislami.net, and alhamdulillah, on that page there is an option to also give place your name forward to give allegiance to Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah. So please do so. So alhamdulillah, Azul, we have also spoken about Darul Ifta. Again, if you could quickly repeat the number.
01274 010126.
It's not difficult then, is it?
Allahu
Akbar. 01274 010126.
Yes.
So please do remember this number if you have any questions. From 2 to 4pm, lines are open and you could go inside and visit, I think from 10am, is
yes.
it?
Yes.
10am to 4pm. So please do, because it is extremely important to gain authentic answers, correct answers, about all of your issues, whatever it may be, you may be facing. Inshallah, do share it with them, and they shall guide you correctly, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.